How did the military find you, Joseph? How did that all happen?
Originally, the original program was not actually supposed to be an operational program. It was supposed to be a study program. I believe it was only supposed to last a few years. What we were supposed to do was act as sort of like a red team. We were supposed to simulate the Soviets in the Cold War and target our own materials, our own bases, our own things. In other words, act as Soviet spies and then turn over what we had collected against what our own targets were. And that would be evaluated separately by a different agency. And based on that independent analysis, they would determine what the Soviets were actually doing. And, you know, that would give us a good comparison of what they were in all likelihood capable of doing.
Who recruited you, or did you volunteer for the program? I mean, how did they know that Joe McMonagle had this ability?
Well, originally that's a very good question, George. It was a tough thing to do. How do you find a psychic in intelligence? What they originally decided to do was go through the records. They determined that they go through the records and they look at, well, what kind of people are out there in the field and what kind of jobs are they doing, and how long is the expectation for them to do these kinds of jobs without getting into trouble, and if they do this job for 6 months, and the expectation is they can do this job for 6 months, say in an overseas area, without getting into trouble, then if they do it for 9 months, then they must either be exceptionally lucky or psychic. And so if we find people that exceed the time limit by a great deal, we should bring them in and interview them. So they started looking at the backgrounds of individuals, and what they found was where I had, in my particular job category, an expectation of being overseas for 15 months. I had spent nearly 12 plus years overseas. So they decided that I was either exceptionally lucky or was terribly psychic. So I got brought in.
It was the latter. They were right on this one.
So in my interview, they decided from the interview, based on the interview, that I should be sent to SRI and tested. So when I got to SRI, I was subjected to six double-blind remote viewings, which I had never heard of before. And I had five near-perfect remote viewings.
That's astounding figure. That's 80%.
Yeah, and I think that's the first time that had occurred. So I was asked to volunteer, and I volunteered.
All right, so you volunteer. Any trepidations at the time when you did that?
Yeah, I actually had a lot of trepidations about it because I knew that, psychically I knew, that volunteering for this project would pretty much taint my career and end it as far as promotions or, you know, promotional considerations or anything like that.
You'd be locked away on this one, and that would be it.
That would be the end of my career, yeah, basically.
They named you remote viewer number one. Was that because you were the best or
no,
because you were number one, the first person they picked?
No. What they did is they gave me 001 because I was the first one they hired. and as soon as they did that, they realized that they gave the next guy 002, they'd be telling everybody how many viewers they had. So the next guy got like 380-something.
I love it.
But that's the only reason.
We're going to tonight get into the program and some of the astounding things that you as a group and yourself as an individual came across, and then remote viewing. But a question about remote viewing, Joseph. There are some remote viewers, some of them have come on this program before, who tend to remote view into the future. Is that really remote viewing, or is that psychic ability? Because I always thought remote viewing was primarily real time.
No, remote viewing can actually, you can remote view any place or time. the future.
Oh, okay.
So remote viewing just simply has to do with the protocol. The time you remote view, the distance you remote view, or the place you remote view is immaterial.
Do you need to put yourself in a special state of mind, or do you play special music? What do you do to get yourself into the mode to remote view?
This is my opinion now. There's a lot of people that become very argumentative about this, but in my opinion, there's three stages to remote viewing. The first stage is prepping the mind for doing the job, and that means calming the mind down and quieting the mind. And that's a terribly difficult thing to do. That's where I think about 75% of the discipline comes in.
Okay.
And you can use almost any kind of mental disciplining to do that. You can learn a martial art, or you can use Zen meditation, almost any kind of meditation to do that. I use Zen meditation because it's basically meditation on nothing. Once I empty my mind in preparation for remote viewing, which usually now, because of my meditation practice, takes me about 3 to 5 minutes. I also used, for many years, I used a hemi-sync methodology that I use or learn with Robert Monroe. The band, the famous out-of-body man at the Monroe Institute.
Yes.
I used a special tape that he cut for me over 14 months here at the Monroe Institute. And once I used that tape for about a year, I was able to throw the tape away. I can reproduce the tape effects just by closing my eyes and remembering what it sounds like now. That helps, too. The second stage is opening to the target, or what's expected of you to produce information for the target. And that's allowing the information to flow in without clouding it by your imagination. And a lot of people think that because it's called remote viewing, that's seeing it. And that's not true. That's basically just opening to the information. And then the third stage is transferring that information into a usable product that people can actually use in some way.
Is that why they sketch a lot? Remote viewers do a lot of sketching, Joseph?
Yeah, if you have artistic ability, it's a lot better. But, verbal descriptions that are acute